All I can say is thank goodness for hostas, because they never put up a fuss in my yard. We're talking midsummer landscaping, tending to our gardens here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. My motto is, when in doubt, plant a hosta. We've divided them. They've helped with soil erosion. I love all the variety they have in their leaves. What's doing well in your garden? Is there a plant that's been a saving grace? What questions do you have for the Master Gardener? 800-642-1234. Patty Percy is Community Garden Coordinator in Fond du Lac County through UW Extension. She's been a Master Gardener since 1994. Patty, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love talking gardening.
Oh, good. Well, give us a tour, if you will. Can you acquaint us with your garden and what you have growing in your landscape?
Oh, man. I'm one of those gardeners that has to try everything new and exciting that comes out. And my garden is just basically kind of a big mess, but it's somewhat organized. And every new variety gets a chance, and then I feel more comfortable when people call me at the extension office or on the radio program I do on Saturdays occasionally, that then I have the experience of giving them better advice.
Sure,
if I can try things.
It's all in the name of being a happy experiment, so that you can be.
And Master Gardeners, because of that experimental thing that goes on, we do kill a lot of stuff.
Oh, dear. So,
but, you know, you don't know until you try it. And It's, to me, it's fun to try things. And then I can, by how the plant reacts and grows, I can tell what it likes and what it doesn't like. The plants can tell you things they need and what they don't need just by how they grow.
Yeah. It's a lot of trial and error. Have you planted something in recent years that you've been really happy with, or that we should really know about?
Oh, man. There's so many things that I really love in my landscape that I don't know if I could just name one.
Oh, you don't have to name one. Give a shout out to some.
Okay. My favorite climbing rose is William Baffin.
Okay.
It is phenomenal. It grows so much every year that I have to trim oodles of it away so that it doesn't take over the whole porch, you know. And the thing that I have to make sure I do every year, though, is put down a systemic 3-in-1 rose feed and fungicide and insect control, because if you don't get that down at the beginning of the growing season, I always end up with soft fly larvae or something horrible going on when it grows. But if it's happy, it goes wild and crazy.
Yeah, you know, I've only stuck with knockouts, and I know those, are for full sun and things like that. So I haven't been able to kind of experiment, and I just kind of stay with the tried and true.
Well, the main thing when you're planting a rose is to find a variety that says, usually it's the last sentence in the description, and it'll say grown on its own root.
Mm.
That is a super hardy rose, and if for some reason it's not super hardy, it can die back to the ground, and it's not a grafted rose, so it'll grow back the same variety.
Yeah.
Whereas you plant a grafted rose and it dies to the graft, and the rootstock could be something totally different that doesn't even produce many or any roses.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. Charlie is with us in Beaver Dam. Hi, Charlie. What is your question for the Master Gardener?
Hi. What's the best kind of compost or fertilizer to put around rhubarb? Cow manure or horse manure?
I prefer bunny manure. It is way less burning and doesn't produce as much. I don't know. It just it's just a more user-friendly type of manure. And I raise rabbits, so I have lots of access to this.
Yeah, you show rabbits. But, you know, those rabbits in your yard, they'll eat almost anything you grow that, you know, they can do some damage. How should we deal with the rabbits?
I have my outside kitties. They come and go from my bunny barn, and they take care of that. They just whatever. When I didn't have some for a couple of years, they were horrible. They were every time I planted asters, even they would mow them right off, and of course all the vegetables.
Of course,
but other than live trap or the permanent method, my kitties did a good job of preventing them from wanting to live here.
Well, Charlie, what do you make of rabbit manure for your rhubarb?
It's not easy to get a hold of.
Well, I usually have lots of it. If you can get over this way, I'd be happy to share with you.
Is it something you can buy, though, Patty?
I don't know if it is. I've heard of some youth rabbit project kids that actually did go into processing it and bagging it, but you have to have it completely dried and composted and then bag it up. And to me, that's way more work. I just compost it over the winter and then shovel it onto my rhubarb and so forth in fall. And it's just marvelous. It's very, it's just so user-friendly, and it breaks down, and it's wonderful. And I put it on about 4 inches thick.
Charlie, how has your rhubarb been growing?
Well, two plants are really good, and one is not good at all. Don't know why the third one is lagging way behind.
And when you say not good at all, what does it look like? What is it doing?
Well, the other ones, you know, they end up 2-3 feet high, and the other one's lucky it got to be a foot high.
Okay, yeah.
The stalks and the leaves.
Have you tested your soil for any? Is there some difference between your soil in between those plants, or basically the same?
Should be basically the same. I did not test it, though.
That's probably something that would be a good idea. Your soil samples will tell you what your soil is lacking as far as nutrients. And if you can only access cow or horse manure, mixing it with a good compost itself, just a compost that you can purchase somewhere at a local store, that would probably be doing that anything a whole lot of good.
Okay. Charlie, thanks. Let's go to Chris now in Racine. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I'm concerned about the plight of monarch butterflies, so I'm trying to grow flowers, perennials, that will attract them. But I have a lot of shade in my yard, and it seems like most butterfly flowers require full sun. Are there any that I can have in my kind of shady yard?
Well, you could try growing several little patches of herbs. I think that would be beneficial. Specifically, dill and parsley. Butterflies love those.
Really?
Yes, they do. And milkweed, I think milkweed would grow just about anywhere you plant it, even if it's quite shady. So,
okay.
But you'd have the specific butterfly milkweed is probably not as hardy if it doesn't get full sun, but the regular old milkweed you can find in your ditch, I think that would go anywhere.
Chris, thanks so much for that question. We have Patty Percy, Master Gardener, as well as the Community Garden Coordinator for UW Extension in Fond du Lac, County, do you have plants that are not doing well in your garden? Share what's going on. Patty can help. Do you have a garden plot at your local community garden? What have you planted? Did you do a victory garden last summer? Do you have one carrying over this year? Join in on the summer growing season, what you're dealing with. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Patty Percy on the Ideas Network. We're getting summer gardening advice and tending to our landscape on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Shout out to my fabulous husband who pulled out loads of invasive buckthorn recently. Don't be shocked, it was growing out of control in our backyard. Still trying to puzzle out, though, what did it do to create a natural green barrier with our neighbor's backyard now that all that unruly buckthorn is out of there. If you have any suggestions, I'd sure take them. What landscape issues are you working on this summer? How are things growing in your yard? Any invasives? 800-642-1234. Patty Percy is lending her expertise on growing plants. She's a community garden coordinator for UW Extension. Patty, we heard from Elise in Rhinelander, wants to know, is it too late to start planting fall mums? And Elise said, we really want to add color to the front of our house once the hostas start fading.
I think it's a good time to plant fall mums because if you wait until they come in the stores and garden shops, they don't have a chance to get their roots established.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find them now, this is the perfect time. And make sure you keep them watered because we're in a drought.
Yeah. So where would be a good place to plant them? Where do they thrive?
Full sun. Full sun for things that flower.
Let's go
and
to...
Best to mulch. Water well and mulch right away.
Okay. Sherry in Kewaskum has a question for you. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So I have this area that is covered with ferns, and I really want to get them out of there, but anytime I've tried to plant something in place of them, I struggle with the ferns coming back. What's the best way to eradicate those ferns?
Oh, man, I wish you could take them to my yard because I can't get my ferns to grow.
Well, go get hers. I'm sure she'd part with all of them.
No. I hijacked your answer. Go ahead.
Well, I have some of those ferns in several places of my yard, and they do tend to try and take over. All you can do is make sure you dig them and dig all the roots out. And it's not that hard if you keep after them like that to eradicate them completely. If you leave one in there, it's going to start producing babies and offshoots, and you'll have the same problem every time you try to put something in there to take up the extra space you opened. So,
Sherry, how long have those ferns been there, Sherry?
I would guess well over 20 years.
Yeah,
they're established pretty well. If you can and make a barrier, if you have an area that you want to keep the roots from traveling, you could possibly make a barrier, but you'd have to go down at least 6 inches.
Mm. Yeah, those ferns are like, you know, this is our territory. Is there something that you need us to do, Sherry? I mean, they're certainly in control.
They are.
They are. And I would love to have hydrangeas in that area because they're, you know, I want to see some color and some flowers. And they're just
my hydrangeas are growing happily with my ferns, actually.
They are.
Hmm. Yeah, if you use some of the ones that prefer more shade, like Annabelle is a good one, mm-hmm. and it plays real well together with the ferns. The ferns try to take over, but Annabelle can hold its own.
Good to know, Sherry. Go ahead.
Could I just ask one question?
Sure.
If I was to put in the Annabelle hydrangeas, am I better off to put one that's more established in growth, or can I start a younger aged hydrangea?
You if you can get the ferns beat back far enough, a small one would be okay. And they establish very quickly, actually. Annabelle's a very fast grower.
Hmm. Okay.
Sherry, thank you. Yeah, Joe now in Wausau. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Good morning. I used to raise rabbits, so I know the manure is really good for rhubarb. But my question is about tomato plants. Last couple of years, something has nipped out the growing tip of the main stem, and I thought it might be chipmunks, but the other day I was standing next, they're in cages, and the other day I was standing next to one, and a black-capped chickadee landed right on the cage, like it was coming in for seconds, you know, so I don't know what would be doing that, you know. Do you have some idea?
I do. When I plant young ones, I'm pretty sure I saw that some of the starlings would actually come and take the nips off the ends like that and just throw them in the garden because they didn't taste good. You know, they'd try them and nip them off and there they would lay. So I think it's easily could be birds.
Could be any kind of bird, a black-capped chickadee possible, or you think?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's a starling. The chickadees are pretty tiny little guys.
Yeah, I know.
They might have trouble.
The stem was pretty thick.
Yeah.
Something's getting in there. You know,
it can't be rabbits because I've got a fence around them, you know, and it's got to be something flying or a chipmunk that climbs up the stem.
What is your caging situation like?
I use that concrete reinforcing wire with the 6-inch mesh towers, you know, four
that's
or five.
Marvelous. I would love that kind of the caging. That's marvelous.
What's your idea on pruning tomatoes? I've never pruned them, but this year I thought maybe I should try that. How do you do that?
Well, you leave them. They should only have about three basic main stems. So as they start to grow and get really full and lush, just go in and prune back any of the suckers that would be coming off of it, the three main stems that you can establish.
From the bottom.
But the suckers will grow on a leaf joint. If you look where the leaves are on the stem, there'll be another stem coming out right where that leaf is, and that's what would be the sucker. And you just prune those all out.
I've taken some of them out, but after losing the tips, I'm sorry I did that, you know.
Well, I think you'll be okay because if you let it just be three big main stems, you'll have better production.
Okay,
Joe, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. We're talking with Patty Percy of UW Extension. She's the community garden coordinator in Fond du Lac County. Let's bring in Linda now in Stevens Point with problems with weeds. Linda, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. The weeds are so bad this year, and I think it's, you know, the wet and the heat. But the problem that I have is that they are just overtaking my garden. I've got beautiful vegetables and stuff, but all of a sudden I've got 3-foot weeds in there, and I need to know if there's anything that you can put or spray in there that will kill them. There's so many, I can't even keep up with them because I'm 70 and I can't pull them all out. Just wondered if there's anything you can put in there. I actually thought about putting some of this, like weed and feed that you put on your grass. Trying to sprinkle some of that in there and see if that would kill the weeds and help the plants. I have no idea what would happen there.
Mm.
Anything that chemical that you use in there is going to kill your garden, the whole garden.
Okay.
Don't do that, please. What can you get a lawnmower in between the rows or anything like that?
No, it's so dense in there. I've pulled and then they come right back and it's just like, oh my God.
Okay.
I don't know what to.
Just, do you have a pruning knife or something sharp that you can just chop them back to the ground?
Yep.
And that would be a start. And then you'd have to lay down some very heavy layers of newspaper and compost on top of the newspaper, and you'll block out all the light, and that should hold them off.
Could I put cardboard down?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. But just cut them all flat to the ground and put down the cardboard and lay compost on top of that so it stays in place, and you should be okay.
That is a great idea. Now, I have a second question.
Let's pause there on that second question, Linda. Thank you so much. Patty Percy is Community Garden Coordinator in Fond du Lac County through UW Extension. Do you have a vegetable or herb garden? Maybe the weeds are just coming up like crazy, like Linda has in her garden. What questions do you have about watering? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Patty Percy after a news update on the Ideas Network. So who's munching on your garden these days? Are you trying to keep critters out of your plantings and it's a losing proposition? We're getting gardening advice this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Those rabbits, they know a good thing when they see it. How do you keep those bunnies out of your garden? What about the deer? What's your best tip? Join in on gardening, keeping pests at bay, 800-642-1234. Patty Percy stays with us. She's a master gardener and has been since 1994. Let's go back now to Linda in Stevens Point. Question number two, Linda, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
No problem. The second question that I have is when I moved into my house, this lady that lived there before me had planted something in my garden. This is not a vegetable garden. This is a flower garden. It looks like a scabiosa, but it's everywhere. It's like literally taken over. And I try to pull it out, you know, and it just multiplies. It's like it has little bulbs underneath it that continue to come back up. How do I get rid of it?
Well, it depends on what it really is and how the root system works. It's coming up from, like, you're thinking bulbs?
Yeah, it has like a little bulb kind of thing. It's like, you know how violets have like little bulbs that they have underneath? That's exactly how it's like.
Then it might be in the chive family, maybe? Do they look like chives?
No. These come up and they actually look. The flower is like a purple flower. It looks kind of like a scabiosa, but it's not. I don't know what it is, but it's everywhere. I don't know if she must have just put a bunch of seeds out or what she did, or if she had three plants that just went crazy. I don't know.
Well, I could possibly identify it from a picture. If you could send that to my UW Extension email, I could possibly identify it for you and give you a little better advice on it.
Linda, why don't you hang on and we'll get you Patty's email in that way that you can send her that picture. I just pulled up a scabiosa and I'm not sure what it might be either. Linda, thanks for the question. Amy now in Salem. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, you got bamboo.
My dad's girlfriend gave it to us and said, this is supposed to bring good luck. All it brought was bees. It's now spread beyond the border of our yard into our two neighbors' yards. We're constantly, I've had a tarp over it for the past 2 years, and then it just pops up on the edges of the tarp.
Oh, dear.
I was going to recommend putting down a heavy tarp, and you've tried it. So I don't, if it's that bad of infestation, I don't know if you could just find some kind of a stump eradicator liquid that you can find at the front, you know, at the store. And anytime there's a piece of it that you can that it starts to grow, just slice it at ground level and paint this stump killer right on that slice as right when it's fresh, right when freshly cut.
Pouring that on right away. Yeah.
That's one of the few things I haven't tried. I've done the boiling water with Dawn dish soap and Epsom salt and
no. You probably made it happy.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Amy, what do you want to what do you want to plant there instead? What is your plan?
Well, I am to the frustration level that I would just put a nice stone piece there. I don't know. I have a landscaper coming in, and I am hoping that we can negotiate some sort of nice little something. It's to fill a corner space in my yard.
Yeah. Wow. That was some kind of housewarming there.
No kidding.
Well, Amy, good luck. Thanks for calling in. You know, Patty, this is that time of year when it just seems everything is getting more parched. We have had some rain, though. What should we keep in mind when watering plants in high temperatures?
The best time to water when it's this kind of hot and dryness. Now, we got this beautiful rain here, but not everywhere did.
Mm-hmm.
Every plant that you are trying to help through this drought should be mulched first, and it should be at least a couple inches deep. 2 to 3 is recommended. I like using shredded hardwood. That's my go-to mulch, but mm-hmm. anything that you can layer deeply, like even grass clippings work. But make sure that it's grass clippings that are from a lawn that has not been treated, because the chemicals in the grass treatments can be detrimental to your ornamentals and garden plants. And then when you do need to water, which I recommend watering deeply weekly, like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be 1 to 2 inches a week, and put your sprinkler on wherever it's necessary early in the morning so that the wetness can be evaporated off the plant, and you won't have any fungus problems if you do all your watering early in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking a bit about mulch here, and funny, you know, a neighbor knocked on the door last night wondering where we got our pine bark. You know, what is the... You know, what would you suggest in terms of when there are so many different types of mulch, and what should we be thinking about as consumers when we go and try to figure out, navigate which ones to buy?
I like to recommend the natural ones.
Mm-hmm.
The painted and the colored ones are usually just chopped up wood pallets, mm-hmm. and they're not, I don't believe they're the best kind of mulch to use. They'll work, but they're not the best kind.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them a long time to break down, which you do want that from a mulch. And it's a matter of what you want to do to help your plants the most, and any natural, either, I don't, cypress is hard to find. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Your pine bark is really an excellent one. I have access to the hardwood. That's my favorite. And it's shredded, so it kind of sticks together. So when you get a heavy rainfall, it'll stay put.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about no float mulch and what that really is.
Basically, the natural stuff.
So okay.
The other, you know, compressed or colored, made out of pallets, that'll, if we get a heavy rain and it's puddled, that'll float away.
Yeah. You know, if you've planted a tree recently, and, you know, you shouldn't be, I suppose, planting in midsummer a tree, but do you have any suggestions on watering when it's a very thirsty new plant like a tree?
That's exactly what I did this year. So we'll see if I am successful. I don't know. They are struggling so much.
Yeah.
What I did, I prefer bare root, which seems to be the recommended and the easiest to work with. And if you plant a tree or a shrub or anything with a substantial root system in the heat of the summer, just make sure it is mulched immediately with 2 to 3 inches of hardwood or whatever mulch you have, and water it 2 to 3 inches a week. The first 2-3 weeks, I would do it twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But how I water is I take my garden hose and put it on a slow trickle.
Yeah.
And just put it over this, where the center of the stem and the root system, and just let it slow trickle for about an hour, twice a week.
Yeah.
And they're still alive, so.
That's a good thing. As we talk with Patty Percy is here, UW Extension Community Garden Coordinator in Fond du Lac. You can join in with your gardening landscape questions. Things have been tricky for you this season, midsummer, 800-642-1234. You know, climate change makes our landscapes so much more high stakes, and we're thinking about what's good for the pollinators, what will prevent runoff and soil erosion. When we look around our yard, Patty, what better choices should we be making to be better environmental stewards?
I'm not real versatile on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an experimenter, so I make kind of stupid choices sometimes, but you just plant something and do a tried and true, do an experiment. If it works, plant more of it. If it doesn't work, you eradicate it and try something different. That's the fun of gardening.
Yeah.
It's always interesting.
And it's certainly fun, too, to get to hear from others who have tried certain things. I'm wondering, do you have any regrets in gardening this summer, or something you planted, a decision to plant something that hasn't gone as expected?
Well, there was a few things that were more or less volunteers that I sometimes leave in the garden. And sometimes it turns out to be a very bad idea. I have several plants and annuals that I did plant that reseed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that were the most horrible to get out after they decided to reseed were the mallow varieties. They have roots to China. Even the babies. But everything else that does volunteer tends to have a easier root system to work with. So I just pull them out as weeds and leave the ones I want. So.
Yeah. What is the difference between open pollinated and hybrid seed varieties and heirloom varieties? What should we consider when planting?
If you have heirlooms, they're going to be true to seed, but your open pollinated and hybrids are not.
Mm-hmm.
So don't save seeds from vegetables such as squash or something like that, because you're going to end up with something totally different.
We are talking about how to keep our gardens and landscape from wilting in the summer heat. Patty Percy is here. She experiments in her yard. What experiments do you have going on in yours? She's Community Garden Coordinator in Fond du Lac County. What questions do you have about watering, about sunlight, about mulch, about fertilizer, compost, you name it? Are you concerned that you're not giving your plants enough water? Perhaps you're overwatering. Still time to talk through challenges with Patty. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is Gardening on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I have two varieties of mint growing in my garden. One is the mint julep mint. Do you know that one? I added it to my herb collection this year on a whim. I like its longer leaves, though, for infusing in my ice water jug. Still time to talk about what's growing, what's struggling in your landscape. 800-642-1234. We have Master Gardener Patty Percy of UW Extension helping us out. She's the Fond du Lac County's Community Garden Coordinator. We heard from Mary and Phillips, called in, couldn't stay with us, Patty. And Mary has planted a wild rose bush, and it's been taking over part of Mary's flower bed. And wondering if you have any insights there on what should be done with a wild rose bush taking over.
Well, I would suggest doing the same thing as I told the lady with the bamboo. Slice it right at ground level, mm-hmm. and paint some stump killer right on that slice. That is considered an invasive species, so you have to be careful when planting anything that's listed on the DNR's invasive species list, because they're named that for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paula in Eau Claire called, couldn't stay with us. Paula's worried about jumping worms and wonders if they can be spread by mulch. Paula is asking, does it matter where you get your mulch from?
Yes, it does. And I would, there's some areas in the state that have infestations and a lot of areas that still don't. But using mulch that comes from an area where there is the issue is taking a chance at spreading them into your yard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we were talking there about heirlooms, you know, handed down through generations of gardeners. I'm wondering how you feel about heirlooms and how we novice gardeners should think about planting them in our landscape.
I think heirlooms are phenomenal, mm-hmm. and people need to keep in mind that having heirlooms is part of some heritage that we have to leave for the future gardeners. Mm. If we eliminate heirlooms and something happens to the hybridized plants, we're SOL. We're not going to have varieties to go back to. But the bad thing about heirlooms is that they're probably less disease and resistant. So that was the reason that the hybrids were developed. But mm-hmm. People should keep promoting and using them. I really believe that.
Let's go to Dave now in Chicago. Dave, what is on your mind?
Okay, maybe I should turn the radio down?
Yep.
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, I planted 7 arborvitaes, and two of them are really brown, but they have some green inside, and the other ones have a little bit of browning going to. I really only have one that's really doing good. They were questionable when I bought them and put them in. And so my biggest concern is to keep them living.
Mm. Okay. What do you mean by questionable?
What can I do?
First, I need to know what you mean by questionable when you bought them. What do you mean questionable?
They had a little browning in them already.
Oh, well, that's bad.
Yeah, I figured that.
If you can see your way past the brown, is there green in beyond the brown, towards the plant. Okay, well then prune out the brown up until you see where there's green, and hope that you can shape it up and have it fill in and look presentable. That's the only thing you can do. And I don't think it's a disease. Otherwise, it would be brown all the way into the bush.
Hmm. Is there
right? I agree with you. I do not believe it's a disease. No, not at all. I believe that the place where these were held, they didn't care for them properly.
Right. Yeah. They probably got extremely dried out on those parts of the bush itself. And once evergreens get too dry or too sunburnt, they'll just brown out on the edges and tips and things like that.
So with these evergreen trees and shrubs, what is the best time of year to prune them?
Right now.
Right now.
This is really the best time. It's when they're actively in growth, and if you prune it back, you're pruning back to a living area. If you prune back too early, you could prune it. It could brown out, and it might not resprout from where you prune. So This is when it's a good time.
Richard in Oconomowoc wants to talk hostas. Hi, Richard.
Well, there. It's got a problem with hostas. Some have blooms that nice white blooms on them, look very healthy. So right next to them are another hosta or two with nothing on them. I'm wondering, are there just different hostas that are normally blooming or not?
Yes, different varieties bloom at different times. So if they are a different looking type, or if they probably are a different variety, and all the varieties bloom at different times. They're still good.
Oh, I love my hostas. Richard, thanks.
Yeah.
Louise now in Viroqua. Hi, Louise.
Oh, hi. I hope I still have time to say something. I didn't get a chance to call. A lady called about milkweeds, and the native poke milkweed grows in shade in the woods. Poke?
Yep.
I think it's the Asclepias exaltata, something like that.
Mm. Oh, my.
And,
good. That's a good.
And the monarchs are important, but then other butterflies are important, too. So I think everybody should plant natives of all kinds in their yard.
Oh, Louise, thank you so much for that tip. And, you know, Patty, as we start to run out of time here, are there any tips that you can give us for midsummer here, and just things to bear in mind as we get out there and garden?
The most important thing you can do for any garden is to mulch. They will survive and do so much better. And a lot of your plants get diseases that splash up from the open soil in the summer onto their leaves, especially tomatoes. So mulch, 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 and water. Every week they need at least an inch of rain.
Yeah, so the mulch and the water. And quick question, is there still time to plant any decent-sized garden for the summer, or is it too late?
No, it's never too late to plant a garden.
I love it.
Some of your plants love being planted in succession all throughout the summer. Your beans and your warmer weather type vegetables, they produce much better vegetables and amounts throughout the whole summer if they're in succession.
Well, Patty, thank you for joining us. Happy gardening.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Patty Percy is Community Garden Coordinator in Fond du Lac County through the UW Extension. She's been a master gardener since the 1990s. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.